Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstances right now, God loves you, and you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. Let's jump in.
Good morning. My name is Josh. I'm one of the leaders around here, and welcome to another week of our current series, Making Change. Shout out to everyone joining us via video or podcast. So whether you're sitting in-house, on the road, or at a Starbucks somewhere, we are so glad that you tuned in today. Each talk in this series, if you notice, they are building upon each other and leading us into what we are calling Legacy Sunday, happening December the 10th. And to make a long story even longer, Legacy Sunday is going to be an incredible time for us to see God do far exceedingly all that we can ask or imagine moving into the new year, 2018. There's so many new and exciting ventures in this season for Center Church, and I'm just so grateful and thankful to be partnering up with some of the greatest people in San Diego, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know that every time you shake someone's hand or you usher someone into the service, that's Jesus working through you. Every single time you pour a cup of coffee or you help a family find their way into a student's class, that's Jesus working through you. When we have restore projects, the smiles, the laughs, and the grateful parents because they're literally watching their kid run back and forth down these halls because they received a new pair of shoes from a leader at Center Church. I want you to know that's the direct result of God's people being the hands and feet where we live, work, and play. And I just felt the need to brag on you just a little bit this morning. And in this season of Thanksgiving, I'm very humbled to be part of a church that's alive. Church that's alive. We'll take out those outlines and pull out your phones and jump onto the Center Church app and we'll dive right in because you're going to learn today, all right? You're going to learn today. If you've been around here for some time, you know that we don't take ourselves very seriously, but we take God extremely seriously. So man, just relax. Some of y'all need to smile this morning. Man, eat a Big Mac and laugh or something because I don't know, but this is a safe place for each and every one of us to kick around what it actually means to follow Jesus. So last week, we unpacked the principle that less is more, and we dove into the thought that it is better to have fewer things that own you than to have a bunch of junk, fewer things that you own than to have a bunch of junk that owns you. I like what was said last week. The abundant life is never built on the abundance of possessions. The abundant life is never built on the abundance of possessions. My wife and I, my wife and I recently sat down. We talked about our finances. Wow, finances, man, that's big boy talk. And if you know me very well, you know that one stream of income for me is here at the church. So I'm the student ministry pastor here at the church. So that's one stream of income for me. But if you know me well, you'd also know that I'm a nurse, okay? I've been working 7 days a week, and no one forced me into doing that. I've been running and gunning, and trying to pick up extra shifts here, trying to do a double there, doing all these things, and 7 days a week just going. And I came to a place where I was like, man, I'm tired. I'm pooped. Some of my coworkers are even like, man, what happened to your eyes? I'm like, I'm Asian, man. What's wrong with you? I came to this place where like, I'm really tired, which begged the question, why? Why am I doing that? Why am I running and gunning? Why am I working 7 days a week? Why am I putting extra hours at the facility or here and there? And I came to the conclusion that I was doing that for a bunch of stuff. See, I want a new car. I want a house. I want a new iPad. I want the trips to Cancun, to New York. I want a lot of the extra possessions, you see. It's crazy to think that a lot of people, I'm pretty sure you can attest to this, They're killing themselves for a bunch of stuff. Working, working, working. You know, I have the opportunity to work with folks who are very well-to-do on a daily basis, okay? A lot of these folks in a past life have been very successful with their business ventures, okay? Or the things that they used to do as a career. People used to play in the NFL, judges and commissioners of this and that, nurses, lawyers, pilots, a lot of folks who in a past life, they were able to attain a lot of things, okay? And that's not bad, but get the principle. And now with these folks, they're moving a lot further along in the natural disease process of life. The things that they used to be able to enjoy on a daily basis, a lot of that stuff is now things that just collect dust, okay? It's crazy to think that a lot of the things that we're working so hard for, putting the extra hours in the office, running and gunning and running and gunning day after day to obtain, one day will probably be sold in some garage sale somewhere. Take that into consideration. The abundant life is never built on the abundance of possessions. And now that I've come to a place in my life where I'm choosing to walk that truth out, it's time to reprioritize and see things from a different angle. This morning, we're going to tackle the principle that giving is good. Giving is good, and we'll see how Scripture lays out a clear blueprint on how we can grow in our generosity, okay? Acts 20:35 will be on the screens. It says this: "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Can you underline that last part? It's more blessed to give than to receive. See, the Bible, it doesn't say it's bad to receive or that even it's sinful to receive, but there is this unique angle I believe is totally opposite from society's norm that you're actually more blessed when you are generous than when you keep for yourself. You're more blessed when you give than when we receive, when we consume. I would venture to think that not a lot of us here this morning have a bunch of emotional consuming stories, okay? A few years back, I worked for the Department of Homeland Security. I had a badge and a gun, and I made really good money doing that, okay? And I remember at that time in my life, I moved out of my parents' house. I moved away from San Diego. So what does a responsible 20-something-year-old do when he finally has money? What does he do? He buys stuff. He buys things. That's exactly what I did. Okay, I got my own place. I didn't buy groceries. I didn't buy furniture. I didn't even buy a bed. Who would venture to think, what did I buy? A car, that's a good one. I bought myself a TV. Because that's what you need, right? A good, a responsible 20-something-year-old needs a TV to survive. Man, I don't need food. I don't need water. I think for like 4 months, I lived off of tap water and Top Ramen for a good 4 months. But I bought my first TV. But when I got that TV, I wasn't like, man, wow, now my life is complete. Tears of joy weren't streaming down my face because of that purchase. Man, I wasn't thinking, man, I'm really walking out God's purposes for my life with this 65-inch flat screen with Alexa voice capabilities. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that way. Like, Alexa, what's the meaning of true joy? The meaning of true joy. It didn't happen like that. We probably don't have a lot of compelling, life-changing stories in which we consumed, okay? But I can tell you story after story of when I gave from what I had in order to meet someone else's need. That's when I found true joy. That's when I feel I'm actually walking out one of God's purposes for my life. The amazing feeling to know that God used you to bring hope to someone else in need, to someone else's situation. The sheer fact that you contributed to impact someone else's life for the good. There's nothing like it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I love the way 2 Corinthians 9:11, it says it this way: "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I love that last part. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. When we grow in generosity, it results in people being pointed to God and giving him thanks. See, it's more than just a money thing. It's actually a God thing. It's not just the object of money. See, God, he actually doesn't need our money, but he sure does want your heart this morning and this season and today. And he desires for you to experience the fullness of joy that precedes being obedient to the voice of God, being used for purposes that are far greater than ourselves. So the question is, if it's more blessed to give than to receive, why don't we do it more often? If giving is good, why don't we walk that out more willingly from day to day? Why do we freak out when the church talks about money? Okay, here's a few reasons why I think we find ourselves stagnant in the area of generosity. If you're taking notes this morning, the first one is this: we're struggling. We're struggling. The funds are as tight as is, and maybe we're barely making it. How can I give when I don't even feel like I have enough for myself or my family? We're struggling. Maybe we're living from paycheck to paycheck. Our rent just went up. The car needed some unexpected repair. Man, that happened to me and my wife this last week. I thought something that was going to cost $19.99 went over $100. Man, that was like a curveball from left. I had no clue where that came from. Christmas is around the corner. The kids need school supplies, band supplies, sports supplies, supplies, man. And the list goes on and on and on. Man, we're struggling. Another reason why I think we're stagnant sometimes in the area of generosity is this: we've seen a message that's abused, an abused message. You know, it might come from church upbringing. Maybe you've had a bad experience, a bad church experience from before. Maybe some preacher gave a talk and proclaimed things about the Bible that are not actually true. Emotionally manipulated, taking scripture out of context to make selfish gain. It's a thought that, man, if you donate $100 a month to this, then God will pay off all your bills and you'll never be in debt. It's that mentality. You've been cheated before. You've been religiously manipulated. An abused message. First, we're struggling, and you see a message that's abused. And lastly is this: we have a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset. I think this is where most of us struggle. This is where, in particular, I struggle. It's a mindset that there is only a limited amount available, okay? It's the, man, I want to protect what I have. I want to protect what's mine. Like, this belongs to me. The scarcity mindset, this is what it says, man. If I give away, I won't be able to have ... What is that? The scarcity mindset. It says this: if I give more, I won't be able to, and you fill in the blank. It places me as the center. There is this word picture in the book of Proverbs that's pretty compelling. It says this, in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. There's another translation. It says it this way in the Living Bible. It says, it is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. By watering others, he waters himself. I love that part. By watering others, he waters himself. So by the authority of Scripture, I can confidently say that giving is actually good for us. Giving is good. And if giving is good, I want to get better at it. If giving is good, I want to grow in my generosity. So today, I want to show us three truths in Scripture on how we can grow in our generosity. First is this: trust God with the tithe. Trust God with the tithe. That word tithe comes from a Hebrew word, ma'aser, okay? It actually means one-tenth. This is the foundation. This is where we have to start. This is kind of giving 101 for the Christian life. Leviticus 27:30, this is what it says. It says, one-tenth, everybody say one-tenth, of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. In other words, if I get $100, the first $10 isn't technically mine. It belongs to God. I return it through the tithe or 10% of what I've been blessed with back to God as an act of worship, okay? The book of Malachi, it brings even more strength to this teaching. It says this, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That word storehouse is a depiction of the local church, okay? This is the storehouse. That there may be food in my house. This is a place where we receive spiritual nutrition. This is a place where your kids and your teenagers and you yourself are challenged with the word of God. We're brought to a place where we're being spiritually fed, that there may be food in my house. Interestingly enough, it says here in the last part of that verse, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in this. This is the only place in the Bible where God invites us to actually test him. And I'm not sure why God lets us test him in this, but I would think that it's because he knows what we're probably thinking this morning, okay? What some of us are probably thinking. Man, give God one-tenth of my finances? Like, are you nuts? Like, do you know how much money this, how much money that actually is? Like, how am I going to do that? So Josh, you're saying that I have to get out of debt, I have to be generous, and then give 10% back to God? Like, whoa, 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 big boy, slow down. Like slow your roll. That's crazy. How do I do this? That means I'd have to totally and completely, 100% rearrange my life around God. Woo, you gonna learn today. I told you. Around God. You know, that's kind of the point. You'd have to change some things in order to put God first with the tithe. We're going to seek and worship God with the first part of what he entrusts to us so we can, in return, use it as an act of worship to him. Then I would have to rearrange my whole life. Like, why? Why should I do that? Because that's going to cause a huge faith on your part. It's huge faith on our part. What does that do? That moves us out of kind of this comfort zone into a point of worship, saying, man, God, I need you. I'm actually depending on you because this doesn't make sense to me. Man, the car just went out. Man, my kid needs this. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make rent this week. God, I need you. God says, test me in this. Worship God with my first and best and trust him to bless the rest. Prioritize our life around God. Secondly, if we want to grow in generosity, let's do this. Plan your generosity. Plan your generosity. Isaiah 32, in verse number 8, it says this, but generous people plan, circle plan, to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. We stand firm. I believe that God is honored when we thoughtfully and skillfully plan in our generosity, okay? I don't believe that our God is a God of chaos, a God of confusion. I believe our God is a God of order. And as we organize ourselves in such a way where we are being generous, not on a whim, but with a plan, we're actually more efficient and ready if there is a need ever to arise, okay? So if you aren't using a kind of a planned method on tackling your finances in a way that can really set you up in freedom in which you can have the opportunity to be generous, I want to challenge you on considering something, okay? If you don't already have a plan that you use, use this. Use the 10-10-80 plan. Maybe some of you have heard of it. The 10-10-80 plan. The first 10 goes to God. First 10% of my finances, it goes straight to God. My act of worship to him is the first 10%. It's biblical. The second 10% goes to personal savings. It goes to personal savings. And then we live on the remaining 80%. Live on the remaining 80%. If you don't have a place where you're actually tackling those things in a real way, let me challenge you and encourage you. This is a great place to start. Rearranging my life, getting out of my comfort zone to a place to worship God. Planning our generosity. Something my wife and I decided to do in recent days is to set aside $20 a month toward a fund that I'll call Blessing. So if a need ever were to arise, or there's a situation in which we can actually bless someone, we'll have the opportunity to help meet that need, to actually walk that purpose out. You know, that might be the way that God answers someone's prayer, and we want to be ready. We planned, and we want to be ready. See, it's not accidental. It's intentional. It's not accidental. It's actually intentional. We intentionally plan to be generous. We don't want to miss out on experiencing the joy in being used by God because we failed to plan. I think I've shared some of these stories here with you guys before. I used to be part of a youth group who would go for summers youth camp at Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Okay, so we drive from National City to Tennessee, and the whole nine. It was an amazing trip. We do it every single year. I remember one year in particular, we stopped by a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our pastor knew the pastor there, and you know they're great friends and so forth. So our students, our kids, we would sing and just do a bunch of stuff for their church. So I remember that summer in particular, they had a lot of our students stay in some of the church members' homes, okay? They housed us, and they were just like a blessing to us and all that. I remember we were there for maybe like 3 or 4 days. My best friend and I, Jan, we were able to stay at this family's house. They hosted us. They were amazing. And we noticed, like, for breakfast, it was great. Like, it was pancakes and sausage and eggs and all this, and biscuits and gravy. Man, I'm from National City. I was like, biscuits and gravy? Like, what is that? You know, do we have fried Spam up in here? Like, I had no clue. Biscuits and gravy was amazing. It was like my first time in my life. My mind was blown. Like, it was great. Lunch was great. Dinner was even better. Like, they would have, like, steak and mashed potatoes and all this stuff. And by the third night, me and my friend would talk to each other. We're like, dude, do you notice that they're not eating the same stuff that we are? Like, their plates look different than ours. It's not as filled as ours are. They're not eating the same things as we are. And we came to the conclusion, remembered, that they're actually giving up their food so that we can have an amazing time in Oklahoma. As a teenager, that actually stuck with me. Like, whoa, somebody actually gave up their food so I can have a great time? And I was talking to my friend, and one night we're like, dude, I think they planned this. If it's more truly blessed to give and to receive, how can we intentionally set ourselves up to be generous? Plan your generosity. If we want to grow in generosity, we must first trust God with the tithe. Plan our generosity. But lastly, we should simply start being generous now. Start being generous now. The book of Philemon 1:6. Bitch, y'all didn't know it was the book of Philemon, huh? Told y'all you're gonna learn today. Philemon 1:6. This is what it says. I like that. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity. Underline put into action. That comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Our only reasonable response to the one who gave his son for us is for us to give our lives back to him. God owns everything we have, so we are going to use our resources in honoring him by being generous now. Leading up to Legacy Sunday, December the 10th, man, you have been challenged to trust God. We've been challenged to plan our generosity and to begin to walk in faith like we've never walked before. We have the opportunity to intentionally give toward new Restore Project initiatives for 2018. Just like what we did with Soul Care, countless other projects, planned emergency response relief for people and families who were affected by traumatic disasters, and for a new home, Center Church. Here's a few things I see more of when we put our generosity in action. Just a few things. I see little boys and girls smiling and laughing because they got a new pair of shoes and the colors were cool. I see families whose homes were devastated by hurricanes. You have food, water, and a place to stay. I see students and teenagers grow up and build families who know and follow God because there was a place where they had the opportunity to experience and encounter Jesus. That's what I see. See, it's not just a money thing. It's actually a God thing. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Would you pray with me today? God, thank you so much for the time that you've given us in your word to be challenged, to reprioritize our thinking. That in this season in which it's very consumer filled, that we have the opportunity to walk in faith and reprioritize our lives centered around you. It's gonna take trust, it's gonna take faith, it's gonna take a lot of just trusting in God. So Father, I pray that you please be with us as we walk out our week, as you speak to us about what it is in our hearts and our lives that you want us to be generous with. Thank you so much for my friends here today. In your name, I ask these things. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person, or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.